It's really good to see you tonight, and thank you for being here. We appreciate everyone's presence, and if you happen to be visiting with us, thank you very much for coming and blessing us with your presence tonight. The 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles is a favorite text for anyone who is concerned about trying to restore biblical practice. The king Josiah sets out to cleanse the temple, to get rid of all of the vestiges of idolatry, and to restore the practice of the law of Moses as faithfully as he can. This is 2 Chronicles 34, beginning at verse 31. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant written in this book. Moreover, he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand with him. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Josiah removed all the abominations from all the lands belonging to the sons of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel to serve the Lord their God. Throughout his lifetime, they did not turn from following the Lord God of their fathers. Well, here, King Josiah makes a covenant before the Lord to keep his commandments with all of his heart and all of his soul. And he encouraged all who were in Jerusalem to stand with him in his resolve to do according to the covenant that God had made with his people. And to some extent, that's what we are about today as the people of God. It's a plea to return to the Bible for our faith and practice. And I want to share with you what I perceive to be at the core of the restoration plea. And I'm doing this in advance of our theme for our spiritual enrichment, the continuing restoration. Some of the points that I will make tonight will be some of the topics of discussion during our spiritual enrichment. And hopefully this will kind of just prepare all of us for that spiritual enrichment program, which begins 2 weeks from tonight. So number one is the respect for biblical authority that must be restored. In Matthew 28, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So the authoritative power of Christ is invested in his word and provides us with all things that pertain to life and godliness. We must therefore respect it in order to be prepared for the judgment, because we will be judged by his word. John 12, verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." And Paul in Romans 2, verse 16, "On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ." Number two, there must be a restoring of obedience to divine commands. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Obedience is necessary because Christ is the author of salvation to all who obey him. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." So obedience is Christ-like. It is our duty. As Jesus said in that statement in John 14, it is the direction of love. Obedience and lordship go together. One time Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I tell you?" I believe obedience is the pathway to answered prayer. It is the foundation of assurance. It is clear evidence of our faith. And I believe it opens up the way to heaven. So, a restoration of obedience to divine commands. The restoration seeks to encourage men and women to return to the New Testament way of worship. John 4, verse 24, Jesus said, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And so worship must be done in spirit and in truth. It must be engaged in with a spirit of understanding, and the truth in matters of and in truth when matters of worship that we read from the New Testament. So that's one thing that we are striving to do, is to always restore that New Testament pattern of worship. But I think the restoration plea also includes a restoration of sound doctrine. This will be one of the topics that will be discussed. Doctrines like the second coming of Christ, the judgment, the church, and all doctrines must be studied in light of the total context of the Bible. Now, I think it's important that we remind people that we must rightly divide God's Word. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. And so as children of God, we must be ready to contend and defend sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, retain the standard of sound words which you heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So that was Paul's encouragement to Timothy. And then the Titus chapter 2, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Sound, healthy a doctrine. Number five, the restoration plea involves a return to biblical teaching in all areas of morality. Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Contrary to popular thinking, God does have a standard of morality. That standard is contained in His Word. And man may legalize, legislate, license immoral practices, but that does not make them right in the eyes of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So God has called us to be that holy, set apart people. But I believe that the restoration in the local church's organization is another thing that we must emphasize. Each congregation is autonomous with elders over each local congregation. As Paul began his letter to the church in Philippi, he said, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, included in each congregation are evangelists or preachers, teachers, deacons, and members, but this is God's plan for the organization of each local church. But I believe also restoring of love and fellowship among Christians. We've sung about that tonight. And Jesus prayed in John 17 and verse 21, that they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Our unity, our togetherness makes our witness much more credible to the world, because Jesus here emphasizes He wants us to be one as Jesus and God are one. Why? So that the world may believe that you sent me. And Ephesians 4 will give us the proper plan for maintaining unity among God's people. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, I believe there will be continuing work in trying to bring back that prayerful spirit of the early church. The brotherly closeness of that early church. Their evangelistic zeal. Their joy. Their generosity with others. And those will also be areas that we will be exploring during our spiritual enrichment series. But I just wanted to kind of give you a very broad, quick outline of some of the things that we will be talking about during our upcoming series. And I just pray that all of us will continue to strive for the restoration of New Testament Christianity. That is a continuing challenge, and that's why we decided to have it as our theme this year, the continuing restoration. Not just the restoration of some of those basic doctrines that I've talked about, or the church's organization, or the way that we worship, and so on. That is very, very important. But I think restoring some of those other things that we see very prominent in that early church. Their joy, their fellowship, their zeal, their willingness to go out there and share their faith with others. That is certainly something that we need to see restored in our congregations today. And so again, I hope we all will continue to strive for the restoration of New Testament Christianity. And if anyone needs to begin their walk with Him or renew your walk with Him, we're going to invite you to come. If you need to come in faith, repentance, and baptism, we hope you'll make that decision. If you need to come and have us pray with you or for you about something, we're here to help you with that as well. Let's stand together and sing our song of invitation.
No longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.